Good morning, church family. Nice to be with you all today. I'd like to have a brief prayer and then we'll go into our study. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for these moments that we can gather. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be here because he has been promised. It's your day, Father. It's your word, and it's your house. And because of the merits of Christ, we make our request. We pray that Jesus alone will be exalted, that his name will be magnified, who has all power in heaven and earth to save. Please guide my mind and my lips. Please guide each one of us and help us to realize that in Jesus is the solution for every problem and need that we have. Lord, please help us now. We pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I'd like to refer you to a passage in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start with verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We can be justified in claiming that there never was a time when this passage of Scripture was more true than it is now. Everything about it. And so much the more, let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Anybody who's now observing world events politically, economically, agriculturally, morally, we are moving fast. We have no time to waste and no time to be occupied with anything that's unimportant. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what I would like to talk about today is, as you saw in the bulletin, the for us to address the question to ourselves, do I have the oil? As it is mentioned in Matthew chapter 25. Okay. I'd like to read a passage here from the book Acts of the Apostles about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Almighty is moving upon men's hearts, and those who respond to its influence become witnesses for God and His truth. In many places, consecrated men and women may be seen communicating to others the light that has made plain to them the way of salvation through Christ. In many places, consecrated men and women may be seen communicating to others the light that has made plain to them the way of salvation through Christ. And as they continue to let their light shine, as did those who were baptized with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they receive more and still more of the Spirit's power. Thus, the earth is to be lightened with the glory of God. This is a very interesting statement. For one, it shows an outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be progressive. It will be poured out upon those who are doing missionary work. Even if you have one arm, one leg, even if you're 85 years old, you can do something for the cause of Christ. And it says, and as they let their light shine, they will continue to receive more and still more of the Spirit of God. Now, in the passage that we read here from Hebrews chapter 10, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Brothers and sisters, there is a list that we need to be occupied with, points of preparation. And we're obviously not going to cover them in this sermon. We will look at some. But there are things that we must do to prepare as Noah built an ark. There are things to do. Physically, mentally, spiritually, where we live, all these things factor in. We have a lot to do, but Christ will give us the grace and the help that we so much need. I'd like to just share with you very briefly, as you well know, last weekend we had a most unusual invitation from a political leader in our country to observe Sabbath, which in my mind is huge. A very nice, gentle come on for keeping a Sabbath from a political leader. And we know where that's headed because we have prophecy. But last weekend, there was at the Capitol Mall a White House-sponsored event, Revive America 250. Quite a few people gathered there. I read one figure, maybe about 50,000 people. There was quite a few Adventists that were there at that event. And I had the privilege of going. And I'd like to just share with you very briefly some of the experiences that we had there. Of course, obviously, I only have one perspective. There would be many, many perspectives from the various workers that were there. But one of the things in anticipation for that event that I prayed for, and I wasn't planning to go, but the Lord finally said, you're going, so I went. But one of the things I prayed is that the Lord would especially connect us with people in the crowd that were most receptive to truth. Now, some of you have seen this audio card here. There was a lot of those passed out just from Don Reed's group. There was well over 13,000 of these passed out, well over 6,000 books. That was just from Don Reed's group. Amazing Facts had a big stack of books at their booth. And by the time Sunday afternoon was over, it looked gone to me. from what I observed. Sabbath afternoon, you know, I, by the grace of God, I have some pretty good endurance physically. But by Sabbath afternoon, after 5 hours of being there in the crowd, working with the crowd and witnessing, and by the way, I'll just tell you this, we got a lot of refusals. Lots of refusals. That's just part of it. But after 5 hours, I thought, I was so exhausted from the effort, I thought, I have got to go and rest a couple hours. I'll come back and finish out the day. But there was a brother that came in. He's been an Adventist now for 10 years. He came in fresh in the afternoon, and he was going to be out there by himself. And I thought, I'm not going to leave this brother to work by himself in the crowd. So I kept with him, and by the grace of God, I was able to work another 3.5 hours that afternoon. One man that afternoon that I came across, he looked at the cover of the book, which looks like this. And by the way, I have some of these if someone of you would like this. It's an amazing little card that can be scanned with your with a QR code on it, and they can listen to the book Great Controversy, and it has other features on there. Really nice thing. But anyway, I was sharing the books too, and there was a man in the crowd that I came up to, and he looked at the picture of the U.S. Capitol, and he said, I don't trust government. And I said to him, I said, well, this book is going to show you that government and religion combined are going to take away our freedoms. He took the book. He was glad to get it. A friend of mine had a similar card of this, not this one. And on Sunday, at the actual event, I don't know how long it took him. My impression was it wasn't very long, but he told me, he said, I've never had an experience like that in my life. He said he was able to pass out 1,000 of these. I think it was in just a few hours. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So God really blessed there. How many of you have ever heard James and Alex Bowen with Heritage and Hope Ministries? Maybe you've seen them. So okay. Well, they had a booth there. And I happened to walk up to their booth, which was right next to the Amazing Facts booth, and Alexander was having a personal interview with a man. I think the man was a foreigner, and Alexander was talking away, and I was so interested in what he was saying, I stepped up and listened for a few minutes. The visitor to the booth had a microphone up to Alexander's mouth, and he had a little device there. He was recording the whole conversation. And trying to think how to say this, but I was really proud of my brother, like really proud of my brother, because he's obviously a spiritual man, and he's a tank full of knowledge, and he was able to give this man all kinds of facts and information, and the man was just drinking it up. And near the end of the conversation, Alexander gave the man a great controversy, and he said, bar none, something to that effect. He said, this is the very best book you can find on history and prophecy. And he gave it to the guy, and the man left. So I know a good work was done there. There was a man on those grounds that I happened on to. I overheard him talking to a woman, and he is very enthusiastic, very dedicated. I want to share something with you. There are Americans in this country that I've observed that are who love truth as far as they know it, and they're willing to sacrifice for it and promote it and do what they can to help what they consider to be good. And I believe this man I came across was one of them. But he told me, and then the woman walked off. I gave her one of these audiobook cards, and she walked off. And then I talked to this man for a while. And he said, I'm in Congress every single day. He is very concerned about the corruption he sees in government. He is not in favor of the Heritage Foundation and what they're trying to do, and he's making protest against it. But anyway, I was able to share with him a great controversy in one of these cards, and I had prayer with him. And after the prayer, he said, thank you for that prayer. He said, it helps calm my anger. Poor guy. He's upset with... Anyway, we need to pray for people like that, you know. There was another man in the crowd I came across. He was from China. He's been in the U.S. for some years. He said, over in China, he said, I did not know about Jesus at all. He said, now I have found Jesus. He was so happy. He took a great controversy in a car, too. He took a picture of us together. But I believe that God really blessed that event. As you well know, in roughly about 6 weeks, there's going to be another event, which in my guessing mind is going to probably be a much bigger event as far as the number of people who will be there. By the way, at this event, I was able to share the message in this form here with more law enforcement personnel than I have in any other event I've ever been at. I had prayer with some of them. Quite a few of them were very receptive. So we need to pray that God will really bless and this work that's being done. And brothers and sisters, I cannot urge you enough. Do whatever you can whenever you can. You know, I have some of these cards, pass out books. Get the message out. Get it out. And love those people and get it into their hands, because people are looking for truth and they are looking for help. Now, I want to just look at the parable of the 10 virgins here in Matthew 25. Relative to the question for our topic today, do you have the oil? Do you have the oil? So let's read these verses here again, just briefly to kind of get the setting again, and then let's ponder about what they're actually saying. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So what we see here is we see two groups in the church at the end, some wise, some foolish, some have oil. In fact, the differentiating factor between them significantly is some had oil and some did not, or some had a good supply and some had a feeble supply which ran out. And then when the crisis comes, those who did not have sufficient oil begged of the wise to get their oil. And the wise said, Well, we can't give it to you. Do you know why? Because you can't get salvation from another human being. You can't get the Holy Spirit from another human being. You must get it from Christ yourself. Now, the dramatic thing in this one is there comes a point where if you haven't gotten salvation or the oil, you will never get it. It will be too late. And brothers and sisters, our zeal for Christ should be at high acceleration at this time in Earth's history. We should be bending every purpose of our life, every habit, every act, every decision for the great purpose of preparing for Christ's coming and for getting this message out to souls. And being willing to sacrifice to whatever extent it may take. Our lives, our property, our reputation, our money, whatever. We must be willing, like it says in Revelation chapter 12, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So we know from Zechariah chapter 3 that the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, there is, I must admit, I love reading the Spirit of Prophecy. I spend quite a bit more time with my Bible than I do the Spirit of Prophecy, but I love reading the Spirit of Prophecy. And I want to read to you here a statement that this is Testimonies to Ministers 234. Now is the time to entreat that souls shall not only hear the word of God, but without delay secure oil in their vessels with their lamps. Okay, the oil equals what? Equals the Holy Spirit. Now, keep in your mind what you just said, because you're exactly right. But listen to what it says here. What it says here is not in contradiction to the definition you just mentioned. Okay? The oil is the Holy Spirit. But here it says, page 234, Testimonies to Ministers, that oil is the righteousness of Christ. That oil is the righteousness of Christ. How do you possess the righteousness of Christ? You possess and obtain the righteousness of Christ because the Spirit of God is dwelling in the soul. That oil is the righteousness of Christ. Further definition is given right here. To me, it's very interesting, and I'm going to read it to you. That oil is the righteousness of Christ. It represents character, and character is not transferable. Amen. That oil is the righteousness of Christ. It represents character, and character is not transferable. Character is what you are as a person, no matter what circumstances are around you. Okay? That's what character is. No man can secure it for another. Each must obtain it for himself, a character purified from every stain of sin. Okay? So let's look at some things here just very briefly in the Bible. I would first of all like to go to the book of Galatians chapter 3. And there is a statement there on how to obtain the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Galatians 3, 1 and 2. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This, verse 2, this only would I learn of you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, Paul asked the question, and he is assuming that the reader should be able quite readily to come up with the answer. And he's asking the question, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? That is, anything that you can do. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Okay? When you read in Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and the rest of the Bible, it is very, very plain that the righteousness of Christ is a gift. It comes as a deposit into the soul as soon as we depend on the promises of the Word of God. Okay? But we must continue to receive infillings of the Spirit of God as verily as we breathe, and as verily as we eat, and as verily as we drink. If you stop breathing, drinking, eating, sooner or later, you will not exist. Okay? So we are to receive not only the deposit of the Spirit of God at the time of the new birth, but we are to continue to receive the Spirit of God on an ongoing basis. And we read in this quote here, Acts of the Apostles 54, as they continue to let their light shine, as they did those on the day of Pentecost, they received more and still more of the Spirit's power Thus the earth will be enlightened with the glory of God. Amen. Now, we should be living by faith, but there are some points on how to receive the Spirit of God. Okay? And I'm going to rattle through them kind of quickly because of the clock and the time. Number one, you receive, as we read here in Galatians, you receive the Word of God by faith. Okay? Another way to receive the Spirit is through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word, and to drink from the fountain of eternal life, we must drink from the fountain of the Word. Amen. This Word is a fountain of eternal life. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to read you a statement here from Great Controversy, page 402. How many of you have ever seen an oil burning lamp that had a wick, a cloth wick coming up out of it? Have you ever seen that? Yep. Have you ever observed that lamp burning indistinctly or the fire dwindling? And in order to get that lamp burning good, you do one of two things or both. You make sure there's a supply of oil in the reservoir, and you also come along and you trim the wick. And then the fire is going to take off and burn brightly again. Okay? Listen to what this definition in the book Great Controversy says, page 402. At the call the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The waiting ones arose and trimmed their lamps. Okay? The waiting ones arose and trimmed their lamps. Now listen to the definition. They studied the Word of God with an intensity of interest before unknown. If you want to read, I believe, a passage in the Bible where someone had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's the author of Psalms 119. And he said there, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Thank you for the question. Yeah, Psalms 119, 129, 130, and 131. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. We, brothers and sisters, are going to be soon in the limelight of the world. We are obscure at this time, but the time is going to come when the limelight is going to be on us and it will not be friendly. Just want you to know, it's not going to be friendly because we live in the world that crucified Christ. But in order to be ready for that time, we must be in communion with God through His Word. And when it comes to witnessing, here's a thought for you. The seventh volume of the Testimonies, page 71, it says, one sentence of Scripture is worth more than 10,000 of man's ideas or arguments. Remember that when you're brought up for your testimony. One sentence of Scripture is worth more than 10,000 of man's ideas or arguments. Seventh volume of Testimonies, page 71. Now, there's a statement in the book, many statements, but there's a statement in the book, Desire of Ages, that has really fascinated me. It's found on page 258. And it quotes There, in there, it quotes two verses from the book of John. John 7:17, John 8:32. If any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It quotes those two verses, and then it says this. Through faith in these promises, every man may be delivered from the snares of error and the control of sin. Do you realize what that statement just said? That statement just said that through John 7:17 and 8:32, there is the power sufficient to save the entire world. You know, J.A. Wiley says sometimes Martin Luther would spend an entire day meditating just on just one Bible verse. And when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, which should be quite a common verse for many Adventists, it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." He says it's by beholding that we are inviting the Spirit of God. And it's in the process of meditating on the Word, hungering after Christ in the Word, that the Spirit of God is invited into the life and comes into the life. Now, so I have a suggestion for you when you read the Bible. You should be asking yourself questions as you read the Bible. Okay? I'm going to take you to some Bible passages. We're going to look at them, and then we're going to ask ourselves some questions. All right? Let's go go ahead. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Okay? Now, I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm doing this as kind of an example or an illustration. But if you would go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2. It's the first book of Peter. It's chapter 2. I just want to look at a few verses in this chapter. So Peter's writing to the people of his time, and he says this. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Okay? So here's a suggestion for you. As you read this verse and you're looking at it, I think it would be well, I'm just giving this as an illustration, but I think it would be well for us to ask ourselves, have I laid aside all malice? Or do I have malice in my heart toward anyone? He says, laying aside all malice and all guile. What's guile? Yeah, it's any kind of deception. By the way, the 144,000 will have very seriously taken this passage into consideration, because it says in Revelation 14, in their mouth was found no guile. No misrepresentation, no exaggeration, nothing. Purely honest. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." By the way, this is a passage especially for newborn Christians, right? Because it says you're drinking the milk of the word. You're not even into the meat yet, like it talks about in Hebrews 5. Okay? Hypocrisies. Well, we know what hypocrisy is. It's saying one thing and doing something else in your life. Right? That's envies. Do we envy anyone? And all evil speakings as newborn babes. Here's another passage to consider. Same chapter, go on a little ways. Look at verse 20 of chapter 2. "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." You remember when you read the book Great Controversy, in the chapter on the life of John Wesley, she talks about him traveling with the Moravians across the ocean, and describes the Moravians and their conduct on the ship and how they were mistreated by other passengers. They would get hit, knocked down, or whatever. They would simply get up and go about their duties. And that one of their responses was, "It's good for our proud hearts." They were wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, I just read a statement. I thought, this is a... I said, "Lord, I just read a statement." And it said, "We are not a fifth," which means 20%, "as humble as we should be." I said, "Ooh, I'm chewing on that one." By the way, do you realize that there's tremendous power in humility? And if you want a great example for someone who is meek and humble, it is the creator of the universe. Isn't that something? He became a man, became flesh. Humility, brothers and sisters, we're going to need it. You know what? You're maybe like me, but I will tell you this. I deal with human nature a whole bunch. And I like to think I've learned some lessons up to this time, but I think the Lord's telling me you need to learn more. You need to improve. So anyway, it says, "But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Now watch how he comes into this to finish out. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Brothers and sisters, God in his word is inviting us to a life of continuous victory over sin. Through the power of the word of God, which will bring to us the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we depend on the word of God, we are depending on Christ, and the Holy Spirit will be invited into the life. Who did no sin? Peter says you are to follow in his steps. And the Lord's going to do it with a group of people in these last days. You know, in our discussion of the subject of righteousness by faith, there's one thing that we must not lose sight of, and that is the necessity of human effort. Even though salvation is a gift, we are to seek after it as earnestly as though we would abandon everything else in the world to obtain it. Now, I'm free for all quoting from a statement in Christ's Object Lessons, which I don't have the page in my head right now. But she says that in the book. Salvation is a gift, basically. Salvation is a gift, but we must seek after it as earnestly as though we would abandon everything else in the world to obtain it. We are to team up with the Holy Spirit. And he will help us. He will help us to resist the clamors of appetite, which we must resist. He will help us to resist the clamors of the fallen sexual desires, which the devil's trying to promote and destroy people by those. Brothers and sisters, we must have purity. We must have purity of conduct, and we must have purity of mind. We cannot be indulging in the things that the world is highly promoting and participating in, because that's a sure route to the lake of fire. Amen. And it will separate us from Christ. Amen. You'll read a statement in the book, Mind, Character, and Personality, where she talks about the subject of being tempted on a sensual level. And she says, when the Lord sees a determined effort to keep the thoughts pure, he will attract the mind like a magnet and will help it to think only good and pure thoughts. Mind, Character, and Personality, page 595. So we are called in the New Testament and in the Bible to team up with the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to refer you to a few statements and kind of wrap this thing up for today. I would be happy to talk for a long time, but I don't think that's the appropriate thing to do at church. Take, for example, the book of Hebrews. Okay? Chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, Paul says this, starting with the first verse. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The more earnest heed. In these last days, God is going to have heroes of faith. And they will not be lukewarm Christians. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Again, you have it. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints who do minister, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, that is, that ye be not lazy and careless, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God is calling us to team up with the Holy Spirit. And every time you resist a temptation, whatever it may be, appetite, passion, laziness, slacking off from duty, every time you resist that temptation and you conquer, you are gaining a new experience in character building. Every time you witness to a person or you go into whatever opportunity, whatever it may be, small or large, you are gaining a new experience with the Holy Spirit. And then when the final crisis comes and you meet your Goliath, you will be able to say with David, God help me take out a lion, God help me take out a bear, and he will help me take out this Philistine giant. You know, I was listening to the testimonies. By the way, I feel like those are books really neglected. Somehow try and get your minds on them some. You can actually listen to them on audio. They're a tremendous wealth of knowledge. But one of the things in Volume 3 that I was listening to from the testimonies was a section on camp meetings. And there was a statement that really caught my attention. It described the unseen world, both good and evil, present at our camp meetings. Holy angels, evil angels. And the comment was made, if we could see this unseen world actually present, good and evil angels, there would be no joking and jesting amongst us. Because we would have a more distinct sense of the seriousness of the battle that we are in. Tell you what, brothers and sisters, there's absolute blessings in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you a little incident that happened to me recently, to the glory of God, to the praise of God. And then I'm going to repeat a passage from Hebrews and I'll be all done. 5 weeks ago, I was attending the other church where Pastor Jeff oversees. And after church, I drove home. It's only about a 30-minute drive. And I came to a crossover intersection where there was a highway, and you had to stop in order to cross this highway. It was just a two-lane highway. So I waited my turn till all the traffic was clear. There was other vehicles coming towards me, waiting on their end of the side of the stop sign or their side of the intersection to come out and make their entry, and I made mine. Well, as they were waiting, it was all clear, and I was the first one to make a move. I came across the intersection like this and began going up a steep hill. Well, there were several cars waiting to come out into the intersection, and what I didn't realize as I was moving up into there that there was a pickup truck coming down that hill behind the other parked vehicles. He had a fully loaded dump trailer, and he could not stop. And he opted, instead of smashing into the back of about three vehicles ahead of him, he opted to come over into my lane and come at me head on. I had no place to go to the left. I had no place to go to the right. I had to make a flash, kind of crazy decision. I hit the brakes through my vehicle and reverse and back down the hill. I could not see behind me. I was going totally at the risk that no one had followed me, because there was another car behind me at the stop sign that no one had followed me. And I backed down the hill out on the highway. That truck kept coming, and he went right on across the road. Unable to stop. I believe the angels of God were there holding back everything else to clear the way. God is very good. And you know, if the devil could, he would take us out. We need to pray for divine protection. Yeah, we need to pray for divine protection. Yeah. I would urge upon you to study the book of Hebrews. And I want to just mention a passage here in Hebrews chapter 11. He goes through all these different characters, and then he starts with verse 33. He describes what they did through faith. He said, through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And he goes on and on and on. Brothers and sisters, God is calling us to conquer sin and self and circumstances, and to be his witnesses in this world, in these last days. Amen. And may the Lord help us. We are living in an absolutely awesome time. Give your best to Christ, give your all to Christ, and do all you can for him, because Jesus is coming soon. God bless you. Just briefly before we pray, I want to, you know, I have some of these. If someone would like some, they are yours, but you've got to promise you will get them out. So I do not want these wasted. I was going to say something else to you, but my mind slipped. Anyway, yes, I just want to urge you, brothers and sisters, look, we've got to team up with the Holy Spirit. He will give us power, connect with God through his word. And by his grace, let's be all we can for Christ in these last days. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we are here on your mission. Lord, we do not want in any way to be like Cain, who came to God and said, I will worship God, but I will do it on my terms. Lord, we refuse that approach. We want to come to thee on thy terms, as Abel did. He came to you on your terms. We know you are good. We trust you as our heavenly Father. And we know you have made provision for us to prepare for this last great work of reaching the world for Christ at the end of time. Lord, help us. Please put your hand upon the Brooklyn Church. Bless everyone here. And I pray that you'll help us to be an influence for good for others, so that many souls will be reached for your kingdom. Help us to conquer through faith, as Hebrews 11 said, that through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, out of weakness were made strong. Lord, give us that same kind of faith. Help us to cling to Jesus like never before, as the assurance of our hope and the help of our salvation and the victor in every temptation and the help for every duty. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.